and I would swab down all the mics with Listerine before.
Because you didn't trust the...
I don't want to get, like, whatever mouth goo is, whatever, you know, had these mics before me.
And would you trust that?
Well, I just love that you trusted Listerine more than...
Oh. Hey, we didn't decide who was going to start, did we?
I think we just did.
To the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. I'm Aaron Flores.
And I'm Brock Dennis, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living. And today... multiple cross-country tours.
Multiple.
Yes. So, Michael, how are you?
Very good.
It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
It's an honor.
And we were connected by Michael, by our friend Tim Mooney, who is also in studio.
That asshole. Oh, wait. Hi, everyone. I'm back.
The guy who has third-party conversations with himself.
It's a sign of good mental health.
This is your actual fifth appearance?
Oh, I don't know. Last time we said that I was the fifth timer, and then I looked because I guess I wanted to fact check myself, and I could only find four. So
you know what? In our hearts, you've been here five times.
Well, I'm just throwing this down as a challenge. You know, for all the other people who are close, you know, the Nathan Joneses of the world and all those others. You know, you gotta. That was a cue for you, bro.
Literally, anybody could come on the show anytime.
Oh, he was doing the best Nathan Jones. Nathan Jones, you're an American treasure. Not like Johnny Kay. No offense, but...
also an American treasure.
An American treasure.
You know, everyone is a national treasure in their own right. They're all good people, and we're glad to be connected to them in some way or another.
Brock Dennis is running for ambassador or something.
That's right, yes. And please, when Election Day comes around, consider throwing my name onto your ballot for podcasting ambassador. I'm the one that tries to bring people together.
Worst job ever.
So thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. This may be the best opening of the show ever. I'm just here to say, as a listener and a contributor to the show.
Well, you know, this is an interesting mutual circle because you listen and donate to our show, and I listen and donate to your show.
You do,
so.
And I was going to thank you personally on the show.
We're all
this
which
is
show?
Funny because I listen to neither shows and also don't donate to either of them.
And I'd like to thank you for your support, too.
Very good. Very
good. There's one in every crowd. I shook his hand. We're cool. I'm going to start rumors this way, right?
That's right. I think rumors are maybe the best thing that can come from this show. I would be disappointed if there was a podcast with us in it and there were no rumors that were started. So.
I almost want to sing some Fleetwood Mac now, but I'm not going to. Because I care about you, the
world
listener.
World turning. Yeah, is that riff from Rumors or is that from something else? No, that's from the original. Rumors is the one with... which one was Landslide on?
Yes.
Self-titled?
That was not Rumors.
No.
I thought Landslide was on Rumors.
Was it?
Rumors.
Rihanna
had,
was on Rumors?
That's. I think you're right.
You Make Love and Fun? Was that on Rumors?
Sure.
I heard that was about one of the roadies, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. That album was, well, if we get into a music episode, this will be 2.5 hours long like the last time, so maybe we shouldn't do that.
That's right.
It has happened
but
before.
All I can think of right now is Seven Wonders, which was off of one of their later albums.
Okay.
Remember that one?
Not either.
It was in the MTV era.
Oh.
If I Live to See Seven Wonders.
Not familiar.
Nope.
I'm a casual.
I can only think of one video of theirs where they're like on a farm.
Did they have video back then?
Well, no. Well, in the
MTV era.
In the MTV era. They had a huge album. It was Seven Wonders, and there was something else on that.
Okay.
It wasn't nearly as good as Rumors.
Right.
But we digress.
Michael, did you get into Fleetwood Mac at all?
No.
Okay. What's your style musically?
Michael and Aaron,
I'm all over the map, but I don't know, listen to a lot of punk rock, heavy metal.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Nice. What's the punk rock equivalent to Fleetwood Mac?
That is the hardest question you have ever asked on the show. Yeah. Seriously, I have to think
about
that.
I want
to
know.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. So it's got to be a really dysfunctional punk rock band. Okay, well, that's everyone. And it's got to be, like, got talented people.
Maybe the Clash? I don't know.
Okay.
They all hated each other.
So the Clash were the Fleetwood Mac of punk.
Yeah,
that actually, yeah. That's really good. I think that's right.
I think we have an answer.
I thought that was the hardest question ever, and then Michael's like, The Clash, next.
Yeah, well, we have a resident genius today. This is good. This is good. And, I mean, this is also the power of collaboration. It takes at least four brains to come up with that sort of an answer. So,
Or three brains and Michael. Or three lack of brains in Michael.
Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought...
three podcasters and a brain.
How many podcasters does it take to switch up?
to raise a potentiometer? Yes. So I went out to Cascade Locks this weekend for PCT days. The Pacific Crest Trail goes through Cascade Locks, Oregon. And this is the time of year, if people are hiking from the Mexican border all the way up to the Canadian border, that most of them will be filtering through northern Oregon. So some people plan their trips around being at the festival. Other people just kind of stumble upon it. And I was not hiking it, but I had hiked it. How long ago now? A month back?
About a month.
We left in like late June. So I'm coming up on 2 months of having left for the trip. But this last weekend, we ended up going out to the festival by bike. And it felt funny to roll in because they have this hiking area for you know, like through hikers and that sort of thing.
Right.
And we roll in, we got bicycles, and they're looking at us funny and trying to figure out why we're there. And I had to identify as a hiker with these people before they would accept me. So. Yeah.
Is there like a secret hiker handshake that you...
You have to have a trail name. Which I don't.
But you shoot.
I was going to say, but you didn't have a trail name.
Yeah. Why did you were like, my name is Brock.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Uh-huh. That's what I told people.
Is that what you told people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did they just mutter and walk away after that?
I think so, yeah.
Now, I've often thought, like, there's a lot of, like, with bike touring and hiking, I feel like that there's, like, a lot of crossover, but a lot of things don't happen. Like, you don't hear about trail magic.
That's true.
In bicycle touring. And we don't have, I'm looking at Michael right now, we don't have names. Nobody's, I've never ran into that. You haven't. Like, it's very peculiar and specific to hiking, like the AT and the Pacific Crest Trail and stuff like that. I've always wondered why. And then
there's a parallel to trail magic that happens on the road where, like, you know, a kind stranger comes by and is like, you know, hey, I'll give you a ride to the next town over.
Or, but you won't
like,
run
here's
into
a
like,
slab of bacon.
Yeah. Sorry, vegans. suck it. Here's a slab of bacon. It's my trail magic. Here's
a little less magical for some.
I was just at a vegan conference last weekend, and it's always, you know, it's like I'm in decompression mode right now.
You were at a vegan conference?
My girlfriend is very big into animal activism.
Okay.
And
is she vegan?
She is mostly vegan.
Is she like 90% vegan?
Yeah, except for all the bacon she... No, I'm kidding.
Okay. That's the one exception.
She's like, I'm vegan for everything except pig.
No, there you
she's,
go. Yeah.
She's a huge fan. Please, no. This is all a lie. She's very committed. Anyway, so not far from where I grew up is the farm sanctuary in Watkins Glen, New York. And,
okay.
We've gone a couple of summers in a row to it, and it's kind of a big deal. There's animal activism, stuff like that. And it's all lots of true believers and stuff like that. So, and you know, I'm not into factory farming, for instance, so I'm
sure.
Very parallel with a lot of folks, but I always feel like that I'm the one guy walking in there and I'm like, they don't know I'm not vegan.
Right.
I like to eat meat and I don't like cruelty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I would feel like it would be written all over my face.
Oh, I'm
like,
positive.
Like I walk
I
in
feel
and
feel
like
that when I'm, because it was
like
hot.
The record scratch and they all like turn.
Yeah. Like an Animal House. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like that I sweat when I'm sweating. I'm like, they can all smell it.
Oh, the
essential oils coming out.
Smells like broth in here.
Exactly. And I eat mostly vegetarian for environmental reasons and for a variety of other reasons, mostly because I live with a mostly vegan person. I mean, let's be honest.
Relational reasons.
Yeah, right. And so when I'm at this thing and everybody's just sort of like talking in ways like, it's like, you know, they just assume everybody in the audience is vegan. I'm like sitting there, I feel like I'm a spy and I'm going to be discovered.
Is there in-speak there?
What's that?
Is there in-speak? Like, are there terms that you don't quite understand at first and you're like, oh, this is what vegans say?
No, I think I've been around it enough.
Okay.
I think I've been around it. And I respect it. I mean, if it's not obvious by now, I obviously respect people who make this life choice. And it's
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a hater or anything like that, but, yeah. And it's interesting because I think there's, or excuse me, it's interesting as
interesting.
It's interesting.
Wait, did you just slip up?
Well, no, I was
going to excerpt that.
No, I said interesting. And then I was going to correct myself to interesting. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm crazy.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Now you're just trolling. but what I find really interesting is the fact that there is a big economy switch happening right now. So I'll try to make this short.
Yes.
The non-dairy milk industry has grown tremendously in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we all see
both in volume and in variety.
Exactly. Right. What I have heard is the statistics is that dairy milk has lost 10% of its market share to non-dairy milks in 5 years.
That's now, a lot.
Someone out there go fact check me on this because I'm big on data. So
pull out a fact.
Yeah. Please be like, you know, for Pinocchio's Mooney. It's been 6 years, liar.
It's been.
No,
1 week since you
looked No.
Wait, are they the punk equivalent?
This is not the music episode.
This is remember? Not yet. Again, 2.5 hours. By the way, we're still in the introduction. I think we're at 27 minutes. Anyway, so the short version of the story is that the fake meat industry is now, and meat product industries like Hormel and stuff like that are getting into it because they realize if they lose 10% of the meat industry overnight, which is essentially what happened with non-dairy
milk. Yeah.
Yes. That is a fundamental switch, and there are a couple of new companies that are privately held that are doing some really fascinating stuff with this. And so for someone like me, I don't care if my quote meat comes from an animal. I'm like, that is a major thing, that if the experience can go away from that, that's going to create a lot of vegans very quickly. Now, there's always going to be people who are like, no, I like my meat and I want to kill an animal for it. But I'm intrigued by this sort of middle spot where we're at right now.
Like, so, I want a burger, but I don't care if it's made of meat or not.
There's a new burger that's out there that apparently bleeds because of beet juice.
Really?
And the experience they sponsored.
It offers like a visual and a visceral.
And the fat is like coconut oil and stuff like that. It sizzles on the grill. I haven't had this yet.
But it could be rare.
It could. Yes, it would. It would be.
Fascinating.
Or?
Interesting.
Oh,
yeah. That was unconscious.
Michael's, okay. Yes. Michael's from Jersey, so I've got like 50. We're 50-50 in here, so we got team interesting. Team right on this side.
Two East Coasters, one Midwesterner, one West Coaster.
By the way, my mom's from Detroit, and she says interesting, so I'm just calling you out.
Well, no, I've often been contrary to...
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. Yeah. Michael's like going, what in the holy fuck is going on?
Yeah, and Michael, thank you for stepping into the middle of a conversation that's been going for like 5 years
for,
now.
For
so.
5 years, later. Yeah. Anyways, bike touring.
Right. Well, just to wrap up on Cascade Locks, went out with a group of people. It's Adele's dream team, which she's assembled from our friends, and said, hey, let's go out and bike. We did, I want to say there were 6 or 7 of us, and it was nice. Thunder Island is a fantastic place in Cascade Locks, Oregon, and you don't get to camp on it that often because usually it's a day-use park. And for this festival, they shut down the island and said, hey, everybody camp there.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You're farther from the trains, so there's less train noise. And Thunder Island Brewing is there, which is great. They make good beer. So it was great. And got up and rode home the next day. So, yeah. What did you do this weekend, sir?
I watched Ghostbusters.
How was it?
I loved it, man.
Do you approve?
Oh, totally.
Because
totally.
That's a
like,
thing
so
that...
here's the thing is I am generally resistant to, like, remakes.
Yes.
You know, and the idea of, like, selling my childhood back to me, right?
Ah, yes.
Or the selling of nostalgia. But here's the thing. If you look at it as its own movie instead of like comparing it to the previous one, it's really good. It's a great standalone movie.
Okay.
There's nods to the old movie. But what I really loved about it was, you know, there's the internet like lost its shit because, oh my God, women were Ghostbusters.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Those are
yeah.
all people I definitely listen to.
Yeah, exactly. the real cool thing about this movie that I totally appreciated was they would reference that within the movie.
That's awesome.
They would reference like that internet hate. There was like one point where, you know, they post on YouTube a video of an apparition that they experienced, and there's like just a quick shot of like some comment thread
like die in
and
hell.
It was like yeah. and yeah it was just a quick shot, and there was a part of me that's like, that's not taken from, like, that's not written from the movie. That was like probably taken from like one of their like trailer sites or
okay.
whatever,
yeah,
you know. But anyways, nice. And then they even quoted like some commenter, of course, fake for the movie, but I'm sure, again, lifted from actual comments. Like, they even quoted someone saying, like, ain't no bitches gonna bust no ghosts. Like, both me and Anna at the same time are like, yep, that's it.
That's an add-on.
Yep.
That's in post.
That's the sort of realism that you want in that sort of sci-fi setting.
Oh, yeah.
You want it to happen in the real world so that it can have the morals and meanings that you hope for from any story that you tell. So I'm glad to hear that. Women can be Ghostbusters, really too.
Cool. Ghostbusters, you know, 2, too.
Yes.
Like, 2 also.
Here's one thing I didn't realize. Dan Aykroyd was executive producer.
Yeah.
I think he and Ramis wrote the original, so I bet that they own the intellectual property, too.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, and it was dedicated to Ramis, by the way.
Who had passed away recently.
Yep, all the original Ghostbusters, Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, they all had a part. Ramis couldn't make it. He was dead.
He was there in spirit.
There's a quick shot in the background of, like...
Too soon?
So how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
So, Mrs. Lincoln, other than that... Did I do that in the pre-show?
Yeah.
Oh,
God damn it. That would have been way better.
There's
now.
Like, you know, one of them is a college professor, and they're walking down the hall, and there's a quick shot of a bust, and it's Ramis.
Oh, right on.
Nice. Yeah. Ramis's character.
Yeah.
You're a fan of Mark Maron's WTF, right?
I am a fan of Mark Maron's WTF.
Kristen Wiig, who was in Star of Ghostbusters.
I just listened to that this morning.
It was a great interview. She doesn't do many of them. She's actually from my neck of the woods. She grew up in Canandaigua, New York, which is 2 towns over from where I grew up.
She likes boats.
And she went to the U of R briefly. And she, I now learned that she likes boats. And she's very funny and very talented.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Things you learn when you pay attention to stuff.
Yeah. Sidebar. Yeah. Aaron's just slamming down his
I'm thirsty is all.
Thirsty. Well, if you're thirsty, I know a place where you can get a fine libation.
Really, Tim, where would that be?
Well, I just so happen to know that if I was in the southeast portion of Portland.
The southeast portion? Do you hang out there much?
I used to live there, in fact.
And, really? What's there?
Well, if you go along Division, you go to First, and then you go to Second, and you keep going. Lower,
so you're going east on Division.
You're going east on Division, okay. and the king of Division knows this. It's his hangout. and 10th and 11th, and then you're at this magical place. You're at Southeast 12th and Division.
12th and Division, you say?
And there is
a nexus of magic there.
There's a nexus of magic, and we're all partaking from that nexus of magic.
Oh, so what is this nexus of magic have a name?
Oh, what is it?
Do they sell? Do they purvey something? Would you say that they're the mongers of something?
God damn, it's on the tip of my tongue.
What do they sell? Let's talk about this.
Well, they sell cherry cola because Aaron's drinking it.
This is good. This is good.
I think they sell cider, hard cider.
Cider. I'm not a huge fan, but you can find it there.
I don't think they sell wine.
What else could you derive?
I don't think they sell hard liquor.
In an alcoholic manner from grain.
Oh, beer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
beer. So they're the beer mongers.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. That's the beer mongers. Okay. On Southeast Division and 12.
Glad we put this together.
That was the best promo I think we've ever done.
I'm really happy to have them as both as a sponsor for our beverages. They're very kind and also a place where I did my bills this afternoon. They have a fantastic little back booth.
The beer mongers. Excellent for paying the man.
I sat in the...
Might as well be drunk.
Sat in the back booth with a couple of pints, and I went through my receipts and said, "Hey, I'm accounting for where all this money went to." And so, yes,
and it's right here in this booth.
That's right. Yes, the beer mongers, Southeast Division and 12th, accounting made more fun.
And you do not need to wipe anything down with Listerine.
That's true.
That's right. A callback from the pre-show. So if you were here for the pre-show, that was hysterical.
Now we have to release the pre-show as a post-show.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. What
373X.
Well, we are here now, so far beyond our usual intro. But, Michael, we got to talk to you about your cross-country touring. So are you ready to step up to the microphone?
Yeah, let's do it.
Finally.
First of all, what's the punk rock equivalent of bike touring? Just kidding.
Wait, no, he'll have an answer.
I think bike touring is the punk rock equivalent.
Yeah, it is. The punk rock equivalent to traveling.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like, are you in any way anti-establishment in the way that you travel by bike?
I don't know.
He doesn't have a bike tonight.
Are you a Lycra guy?
A what?
Do you wear a Lycra when you ride?
On this trip, I did.
Okay.
On my previous tours, I didn't.
And you don't have to feel bad about that, because that's the sort of thing that we've been guilty of Lycra shaming in the past. And
no.
I say if it works for you, do it. But what are some ways that you maybe stood out from the conventional cross-country tourist?
Oh, man.
Robot stickers.
Yeah, I got this cool robot sticker.
You do?
I gotta give you guys some. Yeah. I have in my bag. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'll give you some before I leave.
Nice.
Awesome.
But yeah, I got this cool logo that I've pretty much left a trail of robot stickers across America. And I don't know, just tag up the trail and kind of leave my mark that I was there. And
tagging is kind of punk rock, right?
I guess
yeah,
so.
Yeah. In a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it came
some
out
people
of
got
there,
mad so. About it. Other cyclists would see my stickers. And,
you're that fucker.
Yeah, comment on my Instagram that like you're this is vandalism. You're gonna get in trouble.
Really?
I don't
because,
know.
Like
oh, because they're
what
so
was,
awesome.
What was the contention?
I put my sticker on like 5 stop signs across 10 states. I don't know.
If you put 5 stickers on, yeah.
And that was the first time a sticker was ever on a stop sign.
Yeah. And the Department of Transportation is going to care. I don't know.
Well, they were blaming you for all of the vandalism in the U.S., so it is your fault.
On a national level.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but there's something cool about leaving your mark across like wherever you've been. I remember touring down the West Coast in 2009, and there was somebody who was doing a fixed gear tour, and they had the sticker that said One Gear, One Love.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Tim's going to the coast in a day.
Tomorrow.
And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
You can tell us later on if those are still there or not. But, yeah, I love the idea that you could just kind of, like, leave your mark and say, hey, this is my brand or my image or, like, you know, here's an icon. Here's a what would you call it? It's something for people to latch on to.
Yeah. There was another guy. I was in Colorado, and I was staying at this woman's house. And she pointed out, she says, you see this little I don't know. It was just kind of like a coin with a hole in the middle and with a nail. And it said like, I don't know, Joe Smith was here.
Okay.
On his 2016 cross country bicycle tour.
Like a physical coin?
Yeah. And so he would like nail it on the wall.
Like an old Subway token or something?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Wow.
That's like commitment. It's like he gets coins minted for this. You got a Metro Captain, a sticker.
I got a vinyl sticker.
Yeah, right.
Well, tell us which tours you have done.
Okay, so this is my third cross-country bike tour I rode this summer. I rode in 2000.
Wait, the third in this summer?
No.
Oh.
Yes, he has crossed the country 3 times.
Yeah, I wish.
It's possible, right?
And we're delaying him, so let's get this going. All right.
Going. Enough with the questions, Aaron. Sorry.
Bar Harbor awaits. Come on.
But I rode the Trans Am in 2005 when I was in college. And then in 2007, I graduated college and rode the Northern Tier from Bar Harbor, Maine to Portland, Oregon. And
congratulations,
then,
by the way, on graduating. That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And then I used it as my move across America. And I showed up to Portland in September 2007 on a bike. And my dad mailed me a box of clothes. And I'm an architect, mailing my architecture portfolio. And I got a job. And I've been living in Portland since 2007.
Yeah.
And since 2007, I got a job and I've been working. The recession happened. And I don't know. I kind of got sucked into being an adult.
The worst thing
I,
ever.
I don't know what happened. The years started flying by. And so about 2 years ago, I called out. I said, I'm going to do a cross-country bike ride in 2016. And as it got closer, I ended up leaving my job, becoming self-employed, figured out a way to make money other ways. And then as the trip got closer, I ended up, you know, I took a train across America. I mailed my bike to Yorktown, Virginia. And then in the end of May, I started cycling back to Oregon.
So you did east to west.
Yeah, and I've done east to west on all 3 trips.
On all 3, okay. Interesting. Because that's the, what, the more windy version of the two, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a myth, I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
We could dig into that.
It's windy in both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Indeed.
See,
I've
heard it like depended on the time of year.
Yeah. You know, it's like the Pacific Coast. The winds go from north to south during the nice weather. Yeah. But if you are going to do it in the rain in the winter, it's actually you're better off doing it from south to north.
Prevailing winds. Yeah. Those shift and they move around. So yeah.
Meteorologist Brock Dittus.
I don't know. I think like doing 3 trips, I feel like there are patterns with the weather, and there's, you know, especially when you're in the mountains, the wind goes whipping through some areas, but you're moving across the country and they go through so many microclimates that it's kind of a luck of the draw.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
And my experience.
Yeah. You can't just depend on being like sailed or pushed across the entire continent. That doesn't happen.
I was following Michael's blog this summer, and whenever he would describe, oh, I got a sweet tailwind, I would be like, yes, thank God he got a tailwind. And then he'd be like, I got headwinds. I'm like, oh, I know how that feels. I know how that feels.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. We should put a pin in because, like, kind of planting a flag in the calendar to me is interesting. Just saying, like, hey, I'm going to do this when this month shows up no matter what. That's interesting. But I'm also curious about moving across the country using a bike tour as kind of like the, at least the event that spurs your move. It sounds like you didn't have a whole lot when you ended up on the other side of that tour.
Yeah, it was good. It's kind of silly in a way too, you know. It was really hard for the first three, four years living here. I didn't know anyone, and I don't know. I showed up on a bike. Actually, I rode on that trip. We rode for 90 days. It was a 5,000-mile bike ride. I rode with my two best friends. My one friend flew home. He had a job that he's been working at for years, so he flew back from Seattle. The Northern Tier goes, it ends in Anacortes, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went down to Seattle and then came to Portland. So I came with my other buddy. And ironically, we kind of rode the, once we hit, got past Seattle, it was kind of the lazy man's bike touring. We were just kind of dragging our heels. We followed the STP route and then
Seattle to Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we stayed with some couch surfing. We were actually staying in like some crazy frat house in North Portland. And we get there after doing, I don't know, a long day, I guess 80 miles or so. And the guys were like, you guys hungry? You want to go get some food? And we're like, yeah, sure. So we pull the gear off our bikes and my buddy turned his back to his bike and someone ran up on their porch and just grabbed his touring bike.
Whoa.
Holy fuck.
He just rode 5,000
really?
Miles on.
Like at the end of the tour, somebody's just like, hey,
20
free
minutes
bike.
After the end of our bike tour.
And literally his back is turned and that's when it happens.
This is it. Yeah.
Welcome to Portland. Jeez.
That sucks.
So that was the beginning of the end. I mean, he lived here for 10 months and never really got settled. So he ended up going back to the East Coast, but I stayed.
Poor guy.
But yeah, I don't know. It was just interesting, you know, starting over in a new city.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and not trying, like, it doesn't sound like you had a U-Haul that met you here or something.
Two pairs of jeans and a couple of shirts and a book with all the work I've done for the past couple of years. And
your portfolio.
School, yeah.
So... What drove that decision? Because I think most people would be like, hey, I've got all this stuff. I want to keep it with me. How did you decide to divorce yourself from all your possessions? Or did you have not that many to begin with?
Well, I think it started with the first bike ride, the 2005 ride. I hadn't grown up around New York City and the East Coast, and I never really traveled west, and I'd never seen the Rocky Mountains. And just doing that trip and meeting all these people, it was really kind of life-changing for me. And having always lived in New York... I don't know. I just kind of felt like if I was to ever grow up and become an architect or the next version of myself, I kind of needed the idea of traveling across America and starting over fresh really appealed to me at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you said, hey, I'm just going to have jeans and a couple of shirts and this will be it.
Yeah. And so I was going on job interviews. I still had a helmet tan on my head.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, do you still have that? You got to show this.
He's wearing a hat right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of tan there.
You could also...
You can see where the vents were.
Yeah.
Sure.
My glove tan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The glove tan.
I'm going to have a long-distance bike tour right there.
I'm often proud of when I get the glove tan.
Hell, yeah. Yeah, but Michael's got the head tan, which is just badass.
That's next level right there.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. So that, there's a certain amount of minimalism that kind of wraps around that whole idea. Just like, hey, I don't need all that much. And wherever I'm landing, I'm just going to start with, you know, whatever I can receive in a box.
Absolutely. I'm glad you bring that up, too, because I just finished this tour and it's like, I don't know, I feel like a long time has passed since I've done a bike tour. And now that I'm kind of like getting back to that, it's like, oh, my God, I have all this, I have an apartment full of stuff that I've gathered over the years. And it's like, I don't know, I just kind of want to simplify and...
I was going to ask about that.
You're in the right place.
Well, yeah, that's we talk about simplifying the good life, and usually the good life involves everything you need and not too much that you don't. And so needs change, right? So how did you find coming off of a tour, how did you find that your needs change? Obviously, you need to get a few more things, like a collared shirt or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I don't need a whole closet full. And even when I was on the tour, I started with a lot of gear that by the end of the tour, I had about a half of what I started with. And, you know, it's nice to try, you know, part of why I bike tour is so I can carry my computer and all this stuff. And I've backpacked before and, I like carrying, you know, my luxuries, but at the end of the day, like it makes even bike touring more complicated, the more stuff that you have. So.
Sure. Yeah. So it's easier to be in motion
when
you have just the essentials. So, yeah. Does that carry over to day-to-day life then? Like if you're living in your apartment, you mentioned having like more maybe than you want right now, but, does that inform that your everyday life when you're not bicycle touring?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably downsize to a smaller apartment, get rid of a bunch of stuff.
Moving could help, right? Because my wife and I are up against a move pretty soon and trying to figure out, like, well, that'd be a great time to get rid of these project bikes we're never going to build up and whatever else we've got.
Start over fresh.
Exactly, yeah. Like, well, I like my records. I'll keep those. That's like the thought process that goes into that. But
you own a copy of Welcome to Wherever You Are.
Yes, the NXS album,
which
we talked about on vinyl. Yeah,
which is hard to find.
Their best album, yeah. I think mine was Argentinian. But yeah, exactly. Yes, so.
Slight digression.
Indeed. Now I'm thinking about records.
This is not the music episode.
Well, I just started buying more records, too. Like, I found a bunch of Eels stuff on vinyl that just got released, which is exciting. But we do digress. So, the tours themselves, what kind of bike are you riding? Because there's people out there that are like, why aren't they talking about that yet? Yeah.
So this trip, I did a Trek 520. I've never had one before.
That's a classic, right? A lot of people talk about that.
Yeah, it's a great bike. Performed really well.
You had troubles with your wheels.
Yeah,
though,
I replaced. I have had troubles with every stock wheel I've ever had in every bike. Yeah, so I don't know if I can blame Trek for that, but
Is this like trouble with the wheels, like breaking down or something?
I was popping spokes in my rear wheel in Missouri, and I was close to Springfield, and I said, "Let me just replace this wheel before." I don't want to risk it. Let me buy a better wheel.
Yeah, so this is like a third into your trip.
Yeah.
And the wheels are already not serving their function.
Yeah.
And you're not traveling super heavy, right? Because it sounds like you don't have a whole lot of stuff with you.
No, I didn't carry cooking equipment. I had a lot of electronics on toys.
Okay.
I had all these cameras and
battery
computer.
Weight.
Yeah, I had like a million batteries. But
just like Tim Mooney.
Yeah.
Oh no! This dude outclasses me in so many ways.
So many batteries.
Like, when it comes to electronic gear, because you had a full SLR, didn't you?
I had a DSLR.
DSLR, yeah.
And actually, I had the same handlebar bag that you have, and it has a DSLR insert, and so I would, it fit beautifully.
All your camera gear goes in there. Yeah.
I had a DSLR. I had a GoPro.
Reverse selfie stick set to behind your bike. You had some badass videos.
Yeah, I bought the a GoPro, and I was kind of futzing around with how do I get a good shot. I had it on the handlebars. I had it in a bunch of different spots. And
you're publishing your ride as you go.
Yeah, I blog the whole thing every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I was in Kansas one day, the wind was really bad in the mornings, and I kind of had the day to kill, and I kind of burned myself sitting in front of the computer. And so I went over to Home Depot and I ended up buying this retractable painter's pole where they screw on the roller and they paint the walls with it. And I figured out a way to attach it to the bike. And then I found it screwed onto the top. It was a clamp that held a paintbrush. I took the whole thing apart. I brought it to the hardware department and started talking to the people there. We figured out a way to attach a GoPro the GoPro attachment to the pole so it fit on beautifully. And then
So you can stick this camera out behind you? Is that what I heard?
It was kind of like a tail.
Okay.
It kind of rode off the back.
You get a view over your shoulder as you're going?
Yeah. That's exactly it. It was an over-the-shoulder shot. Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, and I got a wide angle. Yeah. And so I would set it at a time-lapse for like every half second, and I recorded pretty much footage, like time-lapse footage of most of the days on the trip.
Wow.
Of just me cycling.
So you can go back and look at all this stuff, as well as the people who are like following you from the armchair or whatever. You can go back and say, hey, I've got frames every 30 seconds from this entire trip.
I would do that. Sometimes I'd pull pictures from the video and use them in the blog.
Yeah.
But what I started to do too is then take those kind of time-lapses. I learned how to use Adobe Premiere video editing just for this project.
Right.
But I started making like music videos.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like MTV style, and I had the credits in the bottom left corner in white.
Full circle.
I just pointed at Aaron.
It was Tell Me Lies, by the way.
Yeah.
I knew you would know that. Yeah.
And then I put up like 10 or 15 of them while I was on the road. And then I decided I'm going to edit it all when I get home. And I'm slowly dripping out these music videos that I'm then sticking in the blog and then kind of spitting them out to Facebook.
Dude, you're still in John Day on your blog. I need you to get home.
I know. There's like 3 or 4 days left.
Have you ever like heard from any of the artists that you've used?
Not yet. And I thought I would get in trouble, and I thought they wouldn't let me do it. But I guess the way it works is they run ads on the videos. And whatever money that makes, it goes to the artist, not me.
Your videos are going to YouTube, right?
And yeah.
So
I stick them in the blog.
YouTube has licensing agreements with all these famous people. So if Fleetwood Mac has all their songs on your videos.
I am totally doing the Fleetwood Mac Oregon Coast video.
do it for World Turning, man. That's a great song.
I don't know. Maybe we should put it out there, you know, because this will go out, you know. I'll put it out next week, everyone. What's your favorite Fleetwood Mac bike touring song?
Let's everybody vote for World Turning. So
you can't skew the results like that.
I'm not skewing it. I'm just putting my opinion out.
He's just campaigning.
Okay.
I don't know what my favorite
is. This isn't a scientific survey. It's
Aaron, what's your favorite Fleetwood Mac song?
I can't even think other than Tell Me Lies, which I just thought of. I can't think of another title.
That would be the last song I would think that you would like.
I don't. Maybe Rihanna, but not the version Fleetwood Mac does, but the one that was done by like this elementary choir, like back in the 70s
or
something like that.
You are a constant surprise, sir. Can I just say? You're like, not the Fleetwood Mac version, but one a bunch of kids did.
It was really cool. I can't remember the name of the album, but it like made its way around this this elementary school music teacher rearranged all these sort of hit songs like Good Vibrations, Rihanna.
Like the Marky Mark Good Vibrations?
No. Oh. The Beach Boys. Too bum, soon for bum, Marky bum, Mark. Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum. Oh, well,
that video is so just, great. Man, they're just like pumping iron the whole time.
That was
flexing in the mirror.
We did that in college.
Feel the vibrations.
For some performance thing where you were supposed to just be really loud.
Oh, really?
And so like the loudest, it didn't matter like how well you sung the song, but how loud you were. We did Marky Mark's Good Vibrations and we won.
Of course.
Mic drop. I think I'm going with The Chain, by the way, for the record.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. If We Don't Break the Chain. That was from Rumors.
Yeah, that is on Rumors, yes.
World Turning, still a great song. Yeah. But Michael, tell us about...
we may have gotten sidetracked.
You've got all this material from your trip. How did you think about... Like, were you hoping to go out and share this with a bunch of people, or did that thought occur to you later?
So I've blogged my other two trips on Crazy Guy.
You know, stranger to putting yourself out in public on the internet.
Yeah. And actually, I kind of needed to. When I did my first cross-country trip, my parents and my friends and family were like, you know, we need to just talk to you about this. Taking this bike thing a little bit too seriously. I don't know. This sounds pretty dangerous. You're going to get murdered or something out there. And like, I had a lot of resistance when very few supporters on my first cross-country trip before.
Interesting.
I left.
Yeah. So this is a way to keep them just advised that you're safe. Like, hey, I'm checking in.
I guess.
Yeah, or like
that wasn't the intention. That wasn't the intention.
You weren't saying, hey, I'm doing this for you, mom and dad.
No.
But it was like they could look at this and be like, he's still alive. Okay.
Well, part of it, too.
We're going to wring our hands a little less.
Yeah, part of it, too, is I found the bike journaling community and people writing on – it was actually Crazy Guy on a Bike. I was reading that and learning about bike touring and reading about all these different people's trips. And
classic repository of stories.
Yeah, expert on the topic. And – they didn't know. There was no precedent. They didn't know any of that. So once I got on the road and probably a week or two in, they see that meeting all these beautiful people and having these great experiences and I haven't been murdered yet.
Yes. You're still alive.
Everyone kind of like, I got a huge response from that. And so when I did the second trip, I blogged that trip as well. And even years later, I get emails from people thanking me for writing those journals. And they got sucked in. They read the whole thing. And a year later, they got inspired to do their own cross-country trip.
I was going to ask about that. Do you hear stories of people who say, hey, I was reading this and it said, hey, I can do this myself?
Yeah, lots of them.
That's super cool.
I've got a lot of emails from people. And then I was telling Tim earlier, like I've had cyclists read both of my journals, know everything about me, and then they ride across America and they get to Portland and then they find me somehow and end up staying in my apartment.
That's crazy.
Can I stay at your house? Does that happen?
Yeah, it has.
Really?
Yeah, I've hosted on. I'm on the Warm Showers Network.
So you're open to this?
Yeah.
Free reciprocal.
I turn it. I turn it off
tourists.
When I'm not available. But I've hosted probably like 40 or 50 cyclists here in Portland since I've been here. And then this summer when I rode cross country, I used it a few times, but not as much as I feel like I've given so much to that network and really haven't taken anything from it. But it's an amazing
awesome.
System. Yeah,
I've always felt like that. You know, I wonder if there's more takers than givers, although I get the impression that on the Trans Am, and I think you stated a few people that like they're hosting people, it seems like almost every night. I mean, those people are like real. We talked about trail angels earlier. I don't know if it was been the pre-show or here, but like, you know, that's like a real trail angel thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you did that, man.
Yeah. I met a great guy in Pueblo, Colorado, of all weird places. We were actually we were going to the brewery to go, you know, do our thing. And he ran outside. He says, where are you guys riding? You going cross country? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm on warm showers, this and that. And then he's like, where are you staying tonight? And we're like, I don't know yet. We haven't figured it out yet. He's like, oh, you'll probably stay at my house. And then
I like that.
And then we end up like having this wild night of drinking with him. And for whatever reason, this guy had like a stretch limousine on the side of his house.
Oh, really? Is this dude?
Yeah.
This. I strongly encourage people to find Michael's blog and read
look for
these
this guy
2 days, because this was the most badass punk rock star bike touring night ever.
Nice.
They slept in a damn stretch limousine.
Yeah, we slept in this guy's stretch limousine. Oh, me and another cyclist. So weird, that, random. But yeah,
I wanted to ask, because that guy you rode with a lot. Are you still in touch with him? Have you lost?
I was texting with him last night. Yeah, he lives here in Portland. We haven't reconnected since we were on the trail. But we're.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. What was his name again?
I wrote this guy Austin. I met him So when I got to Newton, Kansas, I stayed at the hostel there.
Is that the hostel on a bike shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
That's
heard about
like
this.
The super famous
Newton
one. Cool.
Bike shop.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of cool stuff. And so I got there. I had been I actually skipped going to Kentucky. I've ridden through Kentucky before, and I had a couple of bad experiences.
Decided not to this
and
time.
And so I went around Kentucky and went to Tennessee instead.
Oh, so south of Kentucky.
And then I reconnected with the trail in the Ozarks.
Okay.
And then, but I had all the other cyclists I kept seeing were part of, like, they weren't really touring. They were kind of part of the racing crowd.
Okay.
And so by the time I got to Newton, Kansas, I bumped into a group of about, I don't know, 4 or 5 cyclists. And I pretty much kind of leapfrogged and rode with them all the way to Montana.
Oh, nice. Because you're kind of all going to the same place.
Yeah.
And so you see them every day or every couple days.
We see them on the road or we see them at the campsites. And,
right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You're not traveling as a group, but you have this kind of rolling community across the country.
And that's what I like about the Trans Am, too, is that it's probably the most popular. It is the most popular bicycle cross-country bike ride.
Yeah, and when you did the northern tour route, I'm assuming you probably saw fewer people.
Yeah, not many.
Yeah,
few and far between.
How many? That was also a long time ago, too. I mean, I feel like it's grown. Bicycle touring's grown since
it has.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're guaranteed to see a lot more people on the Trans Am.
Yeah,
right.
It's a classic bike centennial.
Yes, Bike Centennial, which is the original name of the cross-country bike route, which is now the Trans Am. I'm curious, what were you hoping to avoid by not going to Kentucky?
So the first time I rode through Kentucky,
everyone's looking at me like I've got something funny to say.
There were people throwing stuff at me from cars.
Okay,
give me the finger and just getting close and leaning on the horns. And I just and then one day
and this is an established cycle route that you're following.
I just had weird. I couldn't commute. They speak. We're all speaking English, but
the way they
speak English and me as a New Yorker speaking English, it just. There was no communication.
There's a lot
happening.
Of coal trucks and coal traffic in Appalachia.
Super dangerous with the coal thing.
Yeah.
And then one day there was like, it was like probably 100 degrees, 11 a.m. Some dude threw a bottle of tobacco spit at me from his pickup truck. Yes.
Nobody likes that.
Not enough Listerine in the bottle.
Even if you like chew, you don't like that.
And so I said, if I'm going to ride the Trans Am again, I'm just going to go around Kentucky.
Sure. Yeah. Did you get, so I'm assuming it sounds like it's aggressive and not just negligent.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But I don't know. That was my experience. I wouldn't, you know, everyone there. I've met people who have loved Kentucky.
Oh, sure.
The best place on the whole trail for them.
I have had wonderful experiences in Tennessee, period.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not sure from a biking perspective, but Tennessee is an amazing
rad.
State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I very short version while I interrupted this wonderful story about the Trans Am. Like when I was teaching law and I was assigned, we were assigned regions and states, and I was assigned Tennessee, and I had no connection with Tennessee whatsoever. And I started, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know anything about this, and it's the South, and I'm a Yankee from the North, and all this other stuff. And I went there, and I have had the best experiences, regardless, Knoxville, Nashville, Memphis, you know, West, Middle, East, great people, good stuff. So I'm not surprised that you had a good experience there. I don't know anything about Kentucky, but you know.
Yeah, Tennessee was fantastic.
Yeah.
At one point I wrote on the blog that the adventure cycling should take Kentucky off the map and put Tennessee on. And a local Kentucky cyclist saw that and sent me a really nasty email about it.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Well, did you send him some tobacco juice?
Yeah.
Just, that's what I would have done.
In a little baggie. I was in Louisville and talked to a guy who does kind of organized rides and things there in Louisville. And it sounded like Louisville, it's kind of a steep uphill slog metaphorically as far as kind of making bicycling a thing there. But I can imagine if that's the case in, you know, in an urban center, it probably is even more difficult to make your space on the road elsewhere in the state. So makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what, just maybe as we close, what are some things that you would either encourage or dissuade people from if they're planning a cross-country tour?
That's easy. I feel like planning too much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Think that's the problem?
I think that takes the fun out of it.
So stay open.
Yeah. And that was my whole trip. And that was what I've learned in my experience and all these miles of bike touring is stop focusing on where you're sleeping tonight and go talk to people.
Okay. Yeah. And, well, we should talk about that for a minute because I feel like that's, you know, bicycling in general seems to me like there are two camps. There are the people who bicycle for fun. There are people who bicycle because it connects them with people. And then there are the people who are bicycling for, like, either to break their own records or break somebody else's records or to get, like, famous.
Sort of a sportish.
Or to get huge. And so, yeah, there's all these ways to bicycle. But yeah, you're talking about maybe make it about the people. Make it about the connections.
Yeah, that was what it was for me.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I was perfectly prepared for the worst-case scenario, which is go camp somewhere off the side of the road in the middle of nowhere with no services or whatever.
Sure.
But
would you say, did you do more just kind of random camping, stealth camping slash whatever, any place you could find, or did you do more organized, like paying for a site camping?
I barely paid for signs. Even when I should have paid, I didn't pay.
You're the king. Yeah.
And we can't, of course, advocate for that. You should always.
You should
the official
recommendation.
Michael's
is,
the king of the picnic tables.
I slept on a lot of picnic tables.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, those aren't for sale. Those are free. But yes.
Were those places, I was curious because as I was reading your blog, like, were those places that were like someone said, oh yeah, you can totally camp there? Or did you just say, picnic table, I'm going to go there and I'll be out of here by 6 a.m.?
Yeah, that was pretty much my
latter
attitude.
One. Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It got to the point where it takes a lot of work putting up your tent. And
right,
if you don't really need it and it's 100 degrees anyways, it's 110 in the tent, inside the tent. So
who needs privacy?
Yeah, whatever. So
you
I would
change
just
your underwear in a sleeping bag.
Whatever.
Or not. Or
if
just
you
don't
wear
change
it.
Your
yeah,
underwear.
Like, just do it in the open. I don't care.
Underwear?
I'll pee anywhere.
Underwear. Yeah. What are some tips for connecting with people? What are things that you like? What did you have a strategy for meeting people, or did they just kind of flock to you?
I felt like they flocked to me. And,
okay.
But at the same time, like, I had no problems walking up and asking people. Sometimes I would even start conversations with just asking about the next town over, if they know anything about what's happening, or where I can get a good meal, recommend a good breakfast spot, and then next thing you know.
And would you normally consider yourself like an outgoing person, or would you say you generally keep to yourself?
And then, I think a little bit of both. But yeah,
I'm sure you found times when you needed your own alone time.
There was times where I had no luck doing this either. One of them was in Missouri when I went to some town and it was just it was kind of a shady town. There were it was kind of rough neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
And I never really found a good spot that I would have felt comfortable crashing for the night. And I ended up hanging out in Walmart all night long on the bench. And then once it got dark, I just went and put up my tent in the corner of a Walmart parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
You had great pictures from that. It was like behind the pallets and the gardening supplies and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
Well, and Walmart encourages people in RVs to camp in the outer parts of their parking lots.
Not every Walmart. There's a list of Walmarts. Yeah.
Okay.
There's an app, in fact, that I have on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Kimberly and I did, my girlfriend, for those of you who know, we did a round North America trip in an RV for her book release.
Oh yeah, you have experience.
Yeah, and so we use that app, and you're right, like it what's great about it is you can kind of see, it's like, oh, it says, and it's got history in it because it's crowdsourced, and so it'll say, oh, you know, May 2015, asked the manager, they said I could park in this section. It was cool. And yeah, we've used that with our RV when we've done trips before, and it's really helpful because it's free and easy. And
I'm imagining you and Kimberly parking the RV at Walmart parking lots and then driving immediately to the Whole Foods afterwards.
I'll tell you,
yoga in a parking spot.
Pretty close. Like the last time we did this, we were going to a pig sanctuary in a very rural part of Tennessee, not far from Knoxville. And I drove all night from DC and I got in, it was 2 a.m. or something like that. And we get there, we roll in. She's long ago gone in the back and gone to sleep with the dogs. And, you know, I'm like, pull in, park,
go in the back, wake up the next morning, and we've got like no cell phone signal at all. We don't know how to get to this place. And we're in this Walmart. So I'm driving around. I'm using bike touring, like, you know, brain, right? Okay, I need internet. Where can I go? Where's the public library? And I'm like, I'm driving this RV around trying to find stuff with bike touring brain. I was like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
They call that war driving back in the day, to find Wi-Fi in your car.
Totally. Yeah. 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 And we were desperate because we had no idea where we were. We had no signal. It was really crazy.
Intense. Yeah. So connections with people, you're saying, Michael, go out and find people, talk to them, make those connections. You get good stories out of that. You get good social connections. You get places to stay in limousines and whatnot.
And turn off that part of your brain that says, like, I got to make X amount of miles today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I kind of just followed the fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually traveled the trip. I did the whole trip pretty fast. I did it in 75 days. In 2005, I rode in 77 days.
Okay. So how many miles a day would that be?
I think it averages about 60.
Okay.
I always kind of rode between 40 and 60, and I had a handful of 100-plus days.
That's pretty reasonable because that gives you plenty of time to do other things during the day. You could do a faster trip and do less, like, you know, not do laundry and sleep on benches and stuff. But that gives you...
Lael Wilcox and doing like four.
Right, yeah. Right. Yes. This lady who just did the cross-country tour in how many days?
Oh, I don't 14. Know. She's my hero.
She averaged like 250 miles a day.
Yeah. Right, right. That doesn't leave you any time for connecting with people, though, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's interesting. So you've got all these experiences. You've got this kind of this banked up, this gestalt. When you look back on like your collection of touring, is there anything that stands out, like a certain feeling or a certain is there like a tone that comes out of it all from you?
I think what I love most is just being on my bike and having these really long bike trips to just have that much time and that much space to travel and just be on the bike and see the country and meet all these people and drink beer, not have to go to work, play on the internet, screw around in social media, and then do it all over again.
Yeah.
That's what I love. That's what I'm addicted to.
Sure.
And so. Yeah.
Do you have plans for something else coming up here soon?
After this trip, I said, you know, I should be doing one of these every year.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the best parts of me come out in these trips. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know what I'm kind of meant to do.
Sure.
And so, I'll probably ride cross country again.
Nice.
Next summer, I think I'm going to take a month and probably take the whole month of August and ride the coast.
Yeah, that's doable.
I'm also thinking about riding
the
Oregon coast.
Okay, gotcha.
I'd probably just start in Astoria and ride as far as I can.
Sure.
South for a month.
A month south. Okay, yeah.
I was also kicking around riding the Western Express, which goes from San Francisco to Pueblo through the desert of Nevada and Utah.
There's some beautiful
Colorado.
Stuff out there.
I would
right
not
here.
Do that in August.
Yeah. I love riding. And for some reason, I'm a heat guy. I just do really good in riding in the heat. Those are my best days of cycling.
Sure.
When it's 100 plus, I have 100 plus day.
Do you have water strategies?
I just drink a lot.
Okay.
Gatorade. I don't know. It works. It's
sure.
Just drink a lot of water, Brock. Come
is
on.
It?
Soda. I drink a lot of Coke, too.
Yeah.
I don't drink Coca-Cola in my normal life, but on bike tour, I drink a lot of Coca-Cola.
I'm totally the same way. Like, I don't drink, like, sugared sodas at all unless I'm bike touring, and especially, like, if it's got caffeine and sugar in it, it's like, oh, I got a hill. I'm going to drink a full sugar Red Bull, or I'm going to drink a Coke. I'm the same way. Yeah. It's crazy, yeah.
If you're pushing yourself, you can afford that, just, like, calorically. But, so, I mean, do you have a certain, do you carry a water filter? Do you have extra bladders, that sort of thing?
No, I use three bottles. There's stretches of the road where there's no services for 70 miles or so. So I'd get like a Gatorade bottle and just fill it up with water.
Okay.
But I just
feel like you need
bottles.
Less water than most human beings.
Really?
Because, dude, I would drink that in like 10 miles. maybe I just need a lot of water. But like you just like, oh, I got three bottles. Maybe I'll add another. I'm like, oh, my God, I would die on the road.
Actually, as the trip went on, I felt like I needed less, too. And once
really?
I got to the drier climates.
I guess you get acclimatized, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Adapt. Nature finds a way.
My body went through a lot of weird changes, too. It was just like...
Yeah, it's that hump that you got
getting
on the back
into shape.
Of your damn camel.
And like...
You see, Timmy, when a man grows up, he doesn't need to drink as much water. Nice.
These are the rails. This is off the rails.
Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Yeah,
where can
yeah.
people find your stuff? If they want to see your tours and figure out what you did and what you're going to do, where can they find you?
So my blog is at coast2coastbikeride.com. So coasttocoastbikeride.com.
Coast to coast.
And then my Instagram is biketouring999. And my Twitter as well. And then I post on Facebook, facebook.com/biketouring999.
999. Fabulous.
And on my show, I endorse this as sort of the summer tour to follow, one of the three summer tours to follow, and it's a very good binge read. So
nice.
Recommend.
Nice. Yeah, if anybody's out there and interested in reading like full things from beginning to end, this is a good read.
I always joke that my audience is a bunch of people sitting in air-conditioned cubicles, time at work,
living vicariously.
Don't underestimate that, because I get that all the time on my show. It's like you inspire a lot of people just by putting it out there. Yeah. And, you know, I'm positive you've been doing this for longer than I have. And, you know, there are people that started bicycle touring because of what you do. So do not discount that. That is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Put it out there. Very good. Well, thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for talking.
Yeah,
I know there are so many more stories. We barely plumbed the depths, I'm sure. Come back sometime if you want.
Yeah, thank you.
But do both of you have time to hang out with us for news and mail?
Nobody ever says no, Brock.
Sometimes they do.
Oh, that's right. No, somebody did recently. Never mind.
Does anybody need a bathroom break? That's the bigger question.
Are you? Well, sure.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Because we can't. I'm sorry.
Now it's going to have to end.
It got really awkward all
of a sudden. Yeah. I was like, do I need to say something? No, I'm fine. I'm good.
Because I like to offer that because we've been at this for a while. You
that's
know,
true. So. And Aaron's going to have to edit this now. Or is he?
No, Brock does the editing.
Ah, there you go.
That's true. Yeah.
I just do the engineering, which, by the way, we used to like have this month to month rotation. I think I've gotten all summer with a few exceptions.
Used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
All right, you do your thing. You know, it's a.
All right. I mean, I don't want to like deprive you.
If you ever decide you don't want to do
back
it, you
here
let me
in
know.
The control center.
No, you're doing fine.
Okay.
So yeah. If you just like turn on the soundboard and turn all the sliders all the way up, that'd be one thing. Yeah. But no, you've.
Well,
been,
that's how I don't know if you noticed. That's how I start the day and then like slowly
dial
back
it back
things off
as we go for sure, find that sweet spot.
It all doesn't right. work the other way around.
You know what we need is a calendar sounder, because we don't have that yet.
Yeah, we don't. We just, well, we use like calendar as our news,
right? But we need a calendar sounder. Tim, do you have any, like, could you sing us a calendar sounder?
There's the song Calendar Girl. I love my calendar girl. Don't ever use that.
Okay.
Shit, you're gonna so sample sucks. That. Shit.
I was
Shit.
Gonna say,
you fooled me.
Anything not tied to gender, but maybe I'll use that. Yeah.
Oh God, I got so fooled.
We got to figure out what we're gonna use for that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, but for now.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast as we can into the
No, thanks. Brock just offered me a beer.
You know, well,
this must be a
beer.
Really, this must be a really good beer. It looks
it's
interesting.
It's called the toaster pastry.
Yeah, it's called the toaster pastry.
Tastes like cherry cola.
It does?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, sure.
It's like
I mean,
a fucking
it gives me like an impression that it would be like kind of a sweet, fruity
It's a red.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a red.
Okay.
That's my style.
It's got kind of a red thing.
I'm a big fan of red ales.
I have no idea.
And cherries are red, and therefore.
Okay.
Cherry cola.
Oh, all right.
But what's on the calendar?
August 24th from 6 to 10 p.m., the Portland Hawthorne Hostel is having its 13th annual Bike In Movie.
That's right.
The movie is Rising from the Ashes. It's a documentary about the Rwandan cycling team.
Oh, nice. And there was that fantastic short that we saw at Film by Bike about the Rwandan cycling team.
Yes. I don't know if they
were.
The
were you
same
there, Michael?
Film?
No, but I saw something about it
a long
time ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, the film, the short that we saw about the Rwandan cycling team was fantastic.
It was
really
great.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
Is this the Olympic team or just the national team?
I think it's just the national team.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't know.
I watched a little bit of the trailer.
Uh-huh.
Narrated by Forrest Whitaker.
Really?
Yes.
I will watch anything that man's involved in.
Yeah.
Are we talking
Even Battlefield Earth?
Oh, no, I didn't watch that.
Oh.
Was okay. Forrest Whitaker
it's not
in...
We're going to have to take
yeah.
that.
Okay, so yes, anyways, this is happening. This is from our friend Sean Granton, who is associated
yes.
with the people putting on the event. So yes, this is fantastic.
This event is free and open to all. You
free.
Don't have to bike there.
You don't even have to but, bike there. Why wouldn't you go?
But
free Forrest Whitaker,
you
y'all.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, so that's coming up.
August 26th. This 26th. Is going to be a busy weekend.
Yes, it is. Especially because you have to go to two cities.
Yes. Film by Bike in Chicago.
Boom.
This comes to us from Marcus Norman, our graphic designer.
That must yes. be what I saw.
Yes.
Because I thought it was here.
Not happening in Portland. It's happening in Chicago.
Oh. There we go. I was like, oh, I'm missing Film by Bike because I'm going to be biking the coast. But in fact, I'll be missing Film by Bike because I'm not
in
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Our earlier conversation makes so much sense. But no, the Sprocket Podcast calendar is open to people from all localities.
Yeah. Country. Oh yeah. August 27th, the country swim ride
back to Portland.
Let's meet up at Pip's Donuts at, 47th and Fremont at 10:30. Wheels up by 11. This will be a flat, pretty darn low stress, 30-mile route, at least 5 parks, at least 5 large bodies of water, some of them swimmable.
And no lines for the donuts.
That's
my
right.
question for Josh, who put this on, is what do you mean by some of them swimmable?
Well, is it deep enough to submerge yourself? If not, you can't swim in it.
Can you float a canoe in it?
Right.
You can float a canoe in pretty shallow water.
It's a standard for the Clean Water Act, believe it. Navigability.
Oh, there
really?
We go.
Yes. There's your clean water lawyer tip of the day.
Tim Mooney, formerly of a certain organization that worked with the Willamette River. They did something about keeping it in good condition.
I did work with Willamette Riverkeeper. However, I co-founded Columbia Riverkeeper.
Columbia. Ah. Also
because
that.
Because I only work with big rivers, so...
Willamette wasn't big enough.
Tributary. Hello.
It's a good starter river.
Yeah.
has to get empty into the ocean.
I apologize. The Willamette Riverkeeper is in a wonderful organization, as is Columbia Riverkeeper. I just happen to have a working relationship and an experience.
I don't work for fucking tributaries, yes.
Tributary.
August 28th, produced by her, a film screening at the Hollywood Theater.
Yes, somebody sent us email about this. They yes. Aggressively asked us for our email address because they wanted us to get all the information. It wasn't enough information to be communicated by
yes.
Twitter. We wanted the whole thing. So she said, yes, check this out. And it sounds great.
It does. And unfortunately, my link didn't post, but it's a I'll have to bring that up later. So what produced by her is it's a sort of a film, would you say festival? Sure.
Sure.
It's
a collection of films.
Yeah, it's a collection of films done by young women who have been doing this sort of like film production documentary camp. And all these films that they've been working on this summer are going to be playing at the Hollywood Theater.
And I think there's a bicycle focus to this, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's some sort of slant.
See,
at least some of the films have a bicycle focus
this is
to
why
them.
I needed,
so.
Yeah, I needed that link. I was actually depending on like going back to that.
We'll find that but, link, and we'll yeah. share that with you in
yes.
the show notes.
Lastly, not lastly, middle-ly, September 10th, 50 states and 13 colonies.
Yes.
Well, that sounds like that could be in Washington, D.C.
Yes, it is. It's sort of D.C.'s version of bridge pedal, says Tim Mooney.
What
Tim
asshole
Mooney.
Could have written that?
I don't know that guy, but I don't trust him.
I don't trust him.
So have you done this before?
No. It's actually open only for members of the Washington Area Bicycle Alliance, and
oh, really?
I am not currently a member because I let my – but I am an annual donor to the organization, but I am never a member of it. But this ride is very badass and very cool for those of you who are interested and you're in the D.C. area. It is you ride all – the D.C. area has state streets, as we're all familiar with.
Streets named after states.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Because that's a very confusing statement.
As opposed to state-funded streets.
It could have been open to multiple interpretations, of course. But in any event, yes, you get the option to ride all 50 of the state streets, which is about a 60-plus mile ride, or the 13 colonies, which is much shorter, but you should do the 60.
Sure, yes. Why would you not?
Because
you're not a member.
Because you're a child. And, or perhaps you are not interested in doing 62 miles, or you have things to do that day.
And we would never advocate crashing a ride without paying the registration fee, because that's, you know, people that do these things, put them on, they have to
they
cover
do
the
a lot
costs.
Of hard work.
Please support WABA. if you crash the ride.
That being said,
I didn't say that, but they're a good organization. They do great things. DC has changed so much. I am a big advocate for how DC has changed over the years. I have talked about this on the show, and WABA is very chiefly behind all of that, and they have do great advocacy. Flame off.
The District of Columbia. Columbia River, not a tributary. What else is on the calendar?
September 17th, the Tour de Brew. And we've talked about that before.
Do you like beer? Do you like clean water? This is a good event for you.
Yes. You need clean water to have beer.
You get beer. Other people get clean water. Yeah.
Mic drop.
Lastly, for real this time, October 1st, Dr. Something's EP Rustic Machinery release party at the Foggy Notion.
That's right.
With Metropolitan Farms, who is also releasing a full-length CD as well, and surf rock party band Lagoon Squad.
Lagoon Squad.
That didn't sound really enthusiastic. Oh, do you have something against Lagoon Squad?
No, not at all. Actually,
say it again.
Lagoon Squad. And surf rock party band Lagoon Squad.
That is much more like it.
I was thinking about Andre the Giant. I'm Lagoon Squad.
Interesting.
That was...
No, you know what we need? We need to drop the president for that one.
Hang on, the president.
Out hustling everybody else.
There we go. Now we may continue the show.
Okay, headlines.
First up, this came to me from you.
That's right.
It is a device called Beartooth.
This is fascinating.
Off-the-grid network for your smartphone.
Yeah.
It's a little device that you pair with your smartphone. You download the app and pair your Beartooth with your iPhone or Android device. Once connected, you can reach other Beartooth users within 10 miles. So say you and someone you're touring with has this device. You get lost from each other. You know, you guys can be 10 miles apart and still be able to contact each other and be like, hey, everything all right? No, I got a flat. All right, I guess I'm coming back to meet you.
There we go. You should do their promos. This is good. This reminds me, though, because like the smartphone is filling the gaps in so many ways between like it used to be you have a number of devices. And it's still nice to have like one thing that does one thing occasionally. But it's also nice to have the functionality of if you can't afford that one thing because it's a luxury, like why not have – you already have the phone. And then you can use this to connect those phones when you can't use the phone part of the phone.
Yeah, and the great thing is, you don't need a cellular signal for this. Push to talk, by the way, is up to five miles away.
That's pretty good.
So I don't know what we tried the Motorola thing when we went down the...
We had family radio, system radios.
Yeah. Did that work all right?
It was all right, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what the range was on that.
It was
it's less than five, isn't it?
In 2014, it was just not enough for me in a Dell to connect when she got a flat and I left her behind. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
I had this issue with MJ
Mysterious
years ago.
James.
Mysterious James, friend of the show, as you know. And also listener to the Sprocket podcast. So.
Really?
Hello, Mysterious James.
What's up, Mysterious James? You're so mysterious.
You're so mysterious. but he got a flat, and of course, I just blew past him.
Yeah.
And he uses a carrier that shall not be named but rhymes with a rint, which means it gets no signal
anywhere.
And
yes.
I use a real one that isn't powered by coal.
Splint?
Yeah. But yeah, so I couldn't, you know, he couldn't text me and I couldn't text him. So I had no idea where he was or if he was, you know, alive or anything.
Sure.
Eventually he did join up and everything was fine.
It was very mysterious.
It was mysterious. So I guess don't use Splint.
Sure, yeah.
Or use walkie-talkies. We could have used a walkie-talkie that day.
Right.
Or this fine service that I didn't hear the name of or remember.
Beartooth. But if you don't, you can't afford a separate set of walkie-talkies, but you do have a smartphone, it's $150 for your starter kit.
Yes.
So it's a little spendy depending on what your budget is, but it's also a fantastic idea, and you can use it for multiple purposes with the technology that you already own. So this is kind of a cool idea.
And I'm sure once it's out for a little while, there'll be ways to I don't know if hack is the right word, but
hackers.
Repurpose it for other uses as well.
Hackers will hack the system will make it better. They will use virtual reality to go through the pathways to find those things. Yeah.
Hacker's gonna hack.
That's right. So it's interesting to me. Or interesting.
Oh my God, you said it right.
I know, right?
I'm winning.
He's cool. Next up from bikeportland.org, Ian McKay is on a wheelchair tour to promote better paths and trails.
A wheelchair
and
tour.
This is not Ian McKay from Fugazi, but a different person altogether.
Right. I hope he would support this too, because
I'm sure
awesome.
He would. Yeah. In fact, I had this discussion with Anna this morning. She's like, oh, that's not the right Ian McKay. And I was like, yeah, but I bet he would do something like this.
Probably so.
If he knew about this.
Maybe he'll meet him on the trail and just be like, high five him and be like, thank you.
Yeah, this guy's actually from the Olympic Peninsula.
Really?
Yeah.
In Washington State?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the Olympic
Peninsula. Very few people would ride 300 miles on a bicycle just to raise awareness for a cause they believe in. Ian McKay is doing it in his wheelchair.
Holy shit.
And what he believes it, or what does he believe in? Better paths and trails so that more people in wheelchairs can get around safely and efficiently.
Wait, so is he riding like Highway 101 in his wheelchair?
I'm guessing so.
Wow. Do not use Google Maps because it will send you on the logging road. We talked about this at the bar. It sends you on a logging road.
For bicycling directions.
Mr. McKay, please do not use Google Maps. Stay on 101, sir.
Make sure your tires are wide enough, but yeah.
So he's got an interesting quote here. Again, I borrowed this from Bike Portland. On the Olympic Peninsula, I'm spoiled rotten because I can hop on a trail and go either way and commute to wherever I'm trying to get to. I have a lot of brothers with spinal cord injuries that would really like to do similar things, and often the trail systems aren't accommodating for wheelchairs. So I wanted to demonstrate first off that the disabled and people in chairs do use bike paths and trails and multi-use paths.
That's really interesting. That's a cool story.
There's a lot of advocacy overlap between bicyclists and folks who use wheelchairers, and this is a good example of that.
Yeah, it's really got me thinking like how much bike advocacy here in Portland has been so focused on bike access and bike infrastructure, and it's all well and good. I'm not going to denigrate that.
Now screw bikes.
But
bikes.
I think there's sort of, for lack of a better term, an untapped market here, or an untapped ally in the wheelchair and handy.
That's really well said. Ally
community.
Allies are really. That's really well said.
Right. Two wheels.
Yeah, it's still two. Well, it's four because you got two on the side and then
you're
two
right.
up front.
You're right.
But anyways, yeah, and that overlaps with safety concerns. It overlaps with access and. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's also, it's curious to me because there's definitely like the Olympic Peninsula. And Tim, have you done any travel up there?
Quite a bit. In fact, the thing that saved me from my first Portland winter was snowshoeing in Olympic National Park.
Ah.
It saved my life.
I'm okay.
Honest to God, that was the thing. I saw the sun and it was just, it was glorious, glorious thing. I don't know what your first winter like here was, Michael.
Disaster.
Oh my God. Yes. If you come from the East Coast and you're like going through a Northwest winter and then you adjust and then you love it. But my God, I needed that. And
it's not cold enough to be crisp and it's not dry enough to be happy.
Thank you.
I got here in September and so it was like just the last few months of the sun.
Oh,
if I still swear, like if I hadn't banked like September and October and got here like, you know, say in November or December, I would have gone right back to Michigan.
I need to Google the summer of 1996 because I'm telling you, this city was heaven on freaking earth. I studied for the bar exam here.
Oh, yeah.
And it was glorious. And then October 15th happened. And
as
you all know, if you live in this beautiful, wonderful city, around then, it's gray for a long time. And it was just, the Olympic Peninsula saved my life.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Glad to hear that. Yeah. It's a beautiful area. There are so many different kinds of biomes on the Olympic Peninsula. But there's also the off-road paths I'm familiar with. I know there are some particularly steep and not necessarily friendly to wheelchair access parts. So, there's always room for improvement, I suppose. But this sounds like a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be in town anytime soon.
I think he is. You should check out the actual article. It says he's coming this way.
We should talk to him.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we should.
I'd love to learn more about the parallels between what he's doing and bicycle advocacy. I think that this is an untapped thing, as you said, Aaron.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Also, we should pay Jonathan Moss for all the show grist that he's passed our way unintentionally.
Jonathan Moss does so much heavy lifting for so many bicycle podcasts, I'm telling you.
Well, I haven't been to the Olympic Peninsula recently, but, you know, we do have...
We got mail. Hey, we got mail. You're welcome, Pocket Podcast listeners.
It's tradition, Michael. I always have to say
your
that.
Your turn's coming, Tim.
Oh, no. Right.
You sang on the podcast.
Hey, could you sing us a male song?
No, because I know how that goes.
Okay, all right.
Actually, and I would, honest to God, if you ever replace that with my voice in any capacity, there would be revolution. It would be, and frankly, I would support it.
People in the streets with pitchforks. We demand Aaron Flores singing, yes, atonally.
I would have the torch in one hand and the pitchfork in the other, and I'd be like, bring Aaron Flores back.
Right, right, right.
Just ruin it for the other one that you're going to do for me.
Well, first up is a glowing review from Rich Otterstrom, where he doesn't necessarily mention the male song. I've been enjoying this podcast for several years now. I've been into bikes and biking for a long time, but the reason I love this podcast is that it is about having more fun biking and just enjoying life in general. Next time I'm in Portland, I want to meet them at the corner of Southeast Division and 12th.
Boom! When I tell you, Sean. Yeah. Yes. But
the Nexus of Magic, man.
The Beermongers is a character on the show. I'm just saying.
It kind of is.
Yeah. The best decision they ever made was to sponsor the show, because now they are an actual character on said show.
I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan. Yes.
I get a beer like every time I visit, but I mention them on my show, so they get that too.
Wait, have you?
Oh God,
the Pedalship Project is. I feel bad. I don't remember, but okay.
Oh, I'll make a Southeast Division and 12th joke or something.
All right, I'll be looking for that next time you publish a show.
I'll do it on the Tour Journals this weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah. Pedalship Podcast, the most Portland-centric of all DC podcasts.
That's right.
Yeah. I probably mentioned Portland more than DC on my show. I'm telling you.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, if you want to follow Tim's journeys, you could sign up for the newsletter at pedalshift.net.
That's right. Yes, I'm a .net.
Yes.
Somebody owns .com, and I don't know what they
do. Screw those guys.
I thought I made the word up, but somebody had it before me. I don't know. Whatever.
Pedalshift.net. If you sign up for the mailing list, you get to follow Tim on his adventures. It's a special podcast feed you can add to whatever you use to get podcasts.
And if you follow along on Facebook, you can my new thing that I made up this morning, Pedalshift AM, I'm going to do a morning show on Facebook Live.
Really?
Signal Willing. Yes, yes.
Really?
Huh.
Revealed for the first time. It's a Sprocket podcast exclusive.
You've heard it here, listeners.
This is breaking live.
Go follow me on at Pedalshift on Facebook, and I'm going to be doing a morning show starting tomorrow morning as we record this, so it'll probably be too late when you lead it.
Are there going to be wacky sound effects?
I don't think that I have the sound.
It's not that kind of morning.
But if I did, sure. I'd be nabbing that out, hustling everyone else by the president. That is dope.
I'll send that to you.
Oh, that's so good.
Very good.
That may be my theme song.
Yes. Well, I was also going to say, just for thank you, Rich. Rich is one of our donors who helps us pay for the things we need to pay for. He also helps us. I don't want to talk about all the finances of the show in detail, but if we do adventures someday. This also goes towards that. So thank you, Rich, and thank you everybody else who donates to us. It's very fantastic. We appreciate that immensely.
I'm going to go slightly out of order here.
Do it.
Okay. We got a tweet from Jay. One of my earliest memories of bicycles is reading about them in Octavia Butler's sci-fi book, Parable of the Sower.
Really?
Yes. I'm very excited that he had read that. I have not, but I'm a big fan of Octavia Butler.
Ah.
Having listened to her from that podcast, what's name I can't remember right now.
Uh-huh. The Octavia Butler podcast.
No. Normally, that would be my joke, yes.
Sam and I just jumped at that joke, yes.
SciFiPodcast.com.
Sarah Merck's podcast. Propaganda.
Oh, Propaganda.
Propaganda. Oh, yes. Okay. Have much respect for Octavia
from
Butler.
From Bitch Media.
Yes.
Yeah. Feminist things of all kinds.
Yes.
Yes.
Aqua asks, what the hell were you guys drinking in this episode?
And by this episode, she means last episode.
Yes.
I think she could say the same thing for this one.
I don't know. I'm trying to recall. Is she asking because, it was a pretty animated episode?
Which
or
one was
is it? She asking because we forgot to mention what we were drinking?
And we don't always mention what we are drinking.
No.
We do mention where it comes from, which is the Beer Mongers in Southeast Division and 12th.
Which we
do you remember what you drank last episode?
Of course not.
Really?
No.
No.
Overdub IPA. Not you guys, but I just drank that from Fort George.
Astoria on the Oregon coast.
Right.
Pedalship.net.
And I did that because I'm cycling the coast starting tomorrow as we record this. So.
I remember what I had last episode.
Lionheart.
Lionheart. Yes. Ginger fix.
Sorry, so stepped on that.
That's all right. You were wanting to do this, and
I did, but
should have just let you do this.
Well, I'm used to listening to the show, and I just like blurt shit out like Lionheart, you know, in the streets of DC.
Are you one of these guys who's walking around with the earbuds, and all of a sudden like something cues you in the show, and you're like Lionheart?
Oh, absolutely.
Out in public, yeah.
And it just happened, except I happened to be on the show with the mic. So okay, yeah. Sorry, man.
Thank you, thank you, and thank you, the beer mongers.
So again. Lastly. Mac Nurse David sends us a definition of kitty corner.
Ha! Oh, no. I wasn't in the room, but I was yelling on this one.
This come from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Full definition of kitty corner. In a diagonal or oblique position.
Oblique.
Example, the house stood kitty corner across the square.
From corner to corner, you're saying.
Well... Or oblique position.
So, Aaron, is it possible that maybe you were wrong on the last episode?
I will say this.
Merriam-Webster lies.
It takes a big man to admit that they are wrong.
And you, sir.
That's all I'm going to say.
You're like desperately finding another dictionary. You're like, Oxford.
I'm coming back to this definition. It says, or oblique position.
Wait, so did you look up oblique?
I know what oblique means.
Tell me.
It means like one up and two up and one over.
I demand. Look up oblique right now.
I want to know, whoever sent this in, I want you to look up oblique and like decimate Aaron on the next episode.
Oblique.
Oblique's you're going to look it up in like the Urban Dictionary or something.
Not direct.
Having a slanting direction or position. It still could work. Neither perpendicular nor parallel.
Ooh. So technically, by Merriam-Webster... It could be one up and two over.
That's right.
Like a chess move.
This feels like a Trump argument.
Don't worry about it.
I mean,
it's going to be wonderful.
I just injected politics.
It's like diagonal, but not diagonal.
People going across
Don't
squares.
Don't worry about it. It's
they're
okay.
Losers.
You'll be so kitty corner, your head will turn.
My kitty corner is better than everybody else's kitty corner.
Oh, my.
You'll be so tired of kitty corner by the time I'm done.
He also says, I finally saw you both on my morning commute. What do I win? We don't know yet.
But you get
but
a prize.
You win something.
And I'm going to hand that prize off on my morning
that
commute
would be great.
Next time I see him.
You guys just like sort of meet in
you
the
know,
middle of the
finally,
road.
Finally,
like...
I'm going to do that thing where I do actually turn around and hand him something. Yeah. Okay. We will determine what it's going to be, a sticker and something else.
You're going to hand it
beer.
To somebody random and they're going to be, what?
I know, right? What's up with that?
Oh, I thought you were someone else.
Also, let's give the nurse on his way to work a beer. That sounds great.
Right.
I don't even like Lionheart.
Oh, my goodness. Well, is there anything else we haven't said that we need to say before we close this show out?
Out hustling. Everybody else.
Well done. I'm going to miss our president. I will just say that.
He's like a neighbor to me. I literally live blocks away from the White House. So,
he is like a neighbor to you.
He is. Literally. I can even say literally.
Is he kitty corner from your house?
according to Aaron's definition, perhaps. According to, I don't know, every other
it's
definition.
It's two up and one over. It wasn't like...
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Gotta hit the mark.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan Jalen for our theme music.
Kurt Bird for our headline
Marcus
sounder.
Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Melengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Buzinski, Tim Mooney,
Warren Jim Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly.
I lost my place.
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gibhart, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Casey,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Hewley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Otterson, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, King of Division,
Josh Zissin, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby Campsite,
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse, David, Catherine Minchin,
Nathan Poulton, Chris Ross, and Rory Close,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen.
And you know what? Screw making the drum break.
I agree. Thank you,
because we love these guys. Oh, now go brush your teeth.
And go to bed.